Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In our discussion of the Book of Romans, where is presented to us God's plan for saving man, the scheme of redemption, the system of salvation, we have covered the first 8 chapters with very abbreviated and limited comments about each verse, and we have learned the greatness of this system. And of course, this reflects the greatness of the God we worship, the Savior Jesus Christ, respect for His Word that reveals this to us. And throughout these 8 chapters, first one verse after another spells out for us the great benefits and blessings that belong to those who are saved by this system of salvation that has come to us by the grace of God and the merit of the blood of Jesus Christ. But this 8th chapter, it has so emphasized the blessings and the benefits to Christian people, it shows why it is such a blessing to be a Christian. Now, I want to spend this program reviewing some of the things that we see here in this 8th chapter. In verse 1, we're told that there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Well, friend, that simply means there's salvation in Christ. And of course, that's what Paul affirmed in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. How important is it to be in Christ? None of us want to be condemned. There's no condemnation in Christ. And then there's freedom from this law of sin and death in verse 2. The law of sin and death is very simply stated. You sin, you die. That's the wages of sin. It is spiritual death, separation from God. Ultimately, the banishment into an eternal hell. But through this system of salvation, we are freed from that law of sin and death. But in verses 5 through 9, Paul emphasized the obligation of the Christian that has been washed clean by the blood of Christ, not to be carnal-minded, but to be spiritual-minded, to put his emphasis upon the things of the soul and the spirit of man, not just on the things that are temporal and physical and that will perish in time, but on those things that are eternal. In verse 9 and 10, the great blessing of having fellowship with deity. It's almost beyond our ability to comprehend and fathom what a wonderful thing it is that deity has consented to have fellowship with sinful humanity. And in these verses specifically, the Holy Spirit is mentioned having fellowship with deity. In these verses also, since we are in fellowship with deity, we have the obligation to live after the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And of course, that teaching is found in Scripture, and not after the ways of sinful, sensual flesh. We also learn in verse 11 that as Christ was raised from the dead and he will die no more, we have, as Christians, the right to look forward to our resurrection, and will be raised unto life eternal. In verse 14, there's this simple statement of our relationship to God. God is our Father, and we are the sons of God. And it is characterized in verse 14, and that's because we are led by the Spirit. Yes, Christians are led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us His instructions in the inspired Scripture. These are the directions that we are to follow and to pattern our lives thereafter. As sons of God, we are led by the Spirit. And as a result, we are delivered from something that kept us in slavery, in a bondage. We're delivered from the bondage of sin. Something that we cannot accomplish by ourselves, to be sure, but as a result of the love and the mercy and the grace of God by the merit of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are delivered from the bondage of sin. And we have been adopted into the family of God. Now, the family of God, of course, is the household of God. Paul says that's what the church is. The church is the family of God. The saved make up the church. A lot of people don't understand that the composition of the church is composed of people who have taken advantage of this system of salvation that God has given. And as a result, we are adopted into the family of God. And we can know that we're the children of God by the testimony of the Spirit through His Word, and by our knowledge as to whether or not we've done what we are instructed to do. We can know whether or not we're children of God. Listen, dear friend, if we have done what the Scripture says we must do to be in Christ, we can know that we're the children of God, and we can know we're among the saved. But likewise, we can also know, learning of the things that we're to do to be saved if we have not yet done them, we can be just assured that we're not the children of God. But in verse 17, of course, inasmuch as we're children of God, we're heirs of God. We receive an inheritance from the Father. The Apostle Peter spoke of that inheritance that fadeth not away. It's eternal. It's in the heavens. We will inherit an eternal home with God because we are faithful in Christ. Verse 18 of this chapter emphasizes and underscores the fact that there will be hardships, there will be sufferings, there will be disappointments. But the suffering that we may have because of being a Christian here upon this earth in this life, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be ours. I don't know how we could possibly describe the glory of heaven. You know, there's not a whole lot in the Bible that tells us about heaven. There's not a whole lot in the Bible that tells us and describes for us hell. But we can certainly know from what is revealed where we want our eternity to be. We can be in heaven with God. And that heaven is going to be so far glorious above everything we have ever known or could possibly even have imagined. It will be far surpassing the suffering that might have to be endured in this life. And as Christian people, we have what the world, rest of the world, does not have. Now, this is not said boastfully. This is not said self-righteously. This is not said with arrogance or superior attitude. It's an expectation that the rest of the world does not enjoy, and that is, we have a hope. You see, the Christian understands his reason for being alive. He knows that to fear God and keep His commandments, that's what God wants us to do. And he knows that if he's faithful in Christ, Paul tells us here in this 8th chapter, verses 19 through 23, we have a hope. We anticipate something. We look forward to something. We look forward to the Lord Jesus coming again. We look forward to the resurrection. We look forward to hearing the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But please notice the blessing that we have while we're here in this life, that's spoken of in verse 26 and 27 of this 8th chapter. You know, there are times when hardships come upon us, and we have the privilege of prayer. God's people have the privilege of approaching His throne in prayer. And there are times when we do not know how to express ourselves. We wouldn't know how to articulate our needs and our wants before God. But God knows. And one of the reasons He knows is because, as we are told here, the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. And with all of our groanings, the Holy Spirit takes those groanings that we cannot adequately express and interprets them to the Father. And the Father hears them and knows them and answers them according to our needs. And we also learn in verse 28 that God has worked many things on the behalf of mankind. He's always done what He has done for the good of mankind. God works all things for our good. It's not that everything that happens to us is good, or will even become good. Of course, ultimately, it will be good because we'll be in the heaven. But God has worked things for our good, and we are in that company that God has already predetermined that will be justified and ultimately glorified because we have heard, we have believed, we have obeyed this system of salvation. Verse 31 of this chapter, as we read the final verses, we are with God who can and shall protect us from all of that which would otherwise destroy us. Friend, the Christian will enjoy victory. We are justified. Nobody can condemn what God justifies. What Jesus has cleansed by his blood, they're cleansed. And in verse 35 through 39, the Christian has the assurance that nothing shall ever deprive us of the love of God. Yes, if we're faithful and walk in the light as he is in the light, even as the Apostle John has written in 1 John 1, we will ultimately see the reward in heaven because of this great system of salvation. You see, this is a system much in principle like the justification of Abraham, a system of God's mercy, his grace, his love, the blood of Christ, his sacrifice on the cross, the giving of life by his resurrection, the conquering of that which is our enemy. And we partake of it, we have access to it, by a system of faith. Faith that relies upon the merit of the blood of Christ, not ourselves, but a system that has such a faith that we will obey the commands that God has given in this gospel, which is God's power unto salvation. And what is it that we are to obey? Upon hearing the gospel of Christ, we learn that we are in sin and that we need a Savior because we cannot redeem and save ourselves. But God has sent a Savior. That Savior was Jesus Christ. We learn in Scripture what God has done and what Christ has done, what the Spirit has done in the revelation of this system of salvation. We learn that we are to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. But we also learn that we are to repent of our sins, because being a Christian, it's not impossible to sin, but it's incompatible. We are to now, having been cleansed from sin, live in a way of righteousness and confess our faith with our mouth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and obey the condition that Jesus himself stated. It's recorded in your Bible. Go read it from your Bible. Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Friend, that's the system of salvation that then calls upon a faithful life. And understand, it is the only system that can accomplish for man the salvation that man so desperately needs. Well, Lord willing, we'll begin our next study with chapter 9 of this great book of Romans and the system of salvation. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.